His right hand stayed free, instinct telling him to make sure he could draw his Colt if trouble started. A weathered woman with an unsympathetic stare was waiting for him, and she greeted him gruffly.
"Stranger, looking for a room?"
Smith nodded, laying his hat on the counter as he came to a stop, and then using his left hand to slowly produce a fold of bills.
"I am, ma'am. Reckon I'll be staying for a while."
As he handed over the money, the woman counted it with a discerning eye, then nodded.
"This'll do. We don't ask where money comes from around here. You act proper in this hotel, you won't have no trouble. Understand?"
"I do. I'll be joined by my partner shortly, so there'll be two of us in the room."
The woman looked up from the cash.
"Room's only got one bed. You can get a second for this."
Smith shook his head.
"Thank you, ma'am, but we'll make do."
The woman continued to stare.
"Suit yourself. I'm Molly Shane. You can call me Molly. We have three meals in the dining room. Ain't much, but my daughter cooks, and she's got a talent for it. Stable round back for your horse. We have girls, too. Different sizes and shapes to suit your likings."
Glancing over his shoulder, Smith made a note of the whores who were working the men in the room. Two of them had him marked already. They'd seen the fold of bills come out.
"I think I'll be all right. Thank you, ma'am."
Smith looked back at Molly, and she looked him over again.
"You and your friend can do whatever you like in your one bed. We don't ask no questions, so long as you don't cause trouble. Your room's second floor, on the left at the end. Number 11.
Smith nodded slowly and pulled his hat off the table.
"I'm obliged."
He knew he was getting a stare from Molly Shane as he turned away and seated his hat back on his head. The whores who'd marked him curtsied, and he tugged on the brim of his hat to both of them. They were young girls, and he figured either of them could probably have had a different life if they chose it, but it wasn't his place to judge. People made their own way on the new world, whatever way they could. That was why he was here. Taking a few steps back towards the door, Smith decided he'd pause and talk to the security man. He stepped slowly towards the gunman, making sure not to agitate him.
"I'm Smith."
"Glover,"
the security man replied. He wasn't a talkative type, and Smith could relate to that.
"I'm going to be here a week at least, depending on when my face gets out of the papers."
Smith offered more information than he was prone to, because he wanted to establish himself with an explanation here. It might help his case later. Glover considered the drifter with a cool stare.
"We get the papers eventually. You can keep an eye. There ain't no wires to civilization, so no one will tell that you're here. Ain't no way to call for help if you get in trouble either. You stay civil, that won't be a problem for you."
"I mean to keep it civil,"
Smith replied evenly.
"I'd be obliged for any advice about where to avoid."
A frown crossed Glover's brow, and he studied Smith more carefully. A man asking how to avoid trouble was either being honest or was taking a roundabout way of asking how to find it. Smith didn't look like a man who'd seek a fight, but sometimes looks were deceiving. Glover decided to answer anyway.
"This street is quiet. Stay on this street and you're all right. The other two are rowdy. Stay clear at night, and if you're out during the day, you be awful careful."
Smith took the advice with a nod.
"You and your partner keep this place civil."
"The whores need protecting in this town. Me and my partner see to that."
Glover's admission that he had a partner made Smith think he had at least two. The man seemed too sharp to tell a stranger the whole story. With nothing else to say, Smith tugged on the brim of his hat.
"Thank you, Glover."
He turned and headed back to the front door. For a man like Glover to stay alive in a town like this, he had to be tough and smart. With the number of gangs that hid out down here, a security man like him would need a strong reputation to keep a hotel full of whores from being overrun. Smith decided that Glover was not a man to cross. He might even be a friendly gun under certain circumstances. Smith stepped out onto the porch of the hotel and looked down towards the lake. The ferry was still tied up at the pier, and if Smith had done it right, he'd have drawn enough of the attention with his arrival. His partner would be in, safe and sound, and coming up behind this hotel now. They'd be set up for their strange mission soon enough. Then it'd just be a matter of waiting. Chapter 1. Major Thomas Waller stood silently on the train platform and resisted the urge to check his wristwatch again. The train was running late, as many of the trains in the Pacifica Territory seemed to, and reinforcing that fact with another look at a timepiece wouldn't make it arrive any faster. Instead, Waller turned his back on the tracks and looked over the town of Highwater, an American settlement some 400